You're listening to Main Street on Prairie Public. I'm Doug Hamilton with Ashley Thornburg and Sue Balcom because it's time for Main Street Eats.
Sue joins us from her farm outside of Mandan, the Root Cellars Farm. Sue, thanks for joining us and stay warm.
Well, heck yeah. It makes for easy walking around out there with that ground frozen rock hard, doesn't it?
I think we yearn to be inside looking at our seed catalogs, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely. In fact, I have one in front of me at this very moment, and I'm actually doing a couple of exchanges on Facebook with some of my friends. There is apparently another rush to order seeds, so I am very grateful that I did in November, because I have an excess now that I can share with some of my friends who can't find their favorite varieties. So if you have not ordered your seeds yet, you can try. But places like Johnny's and Territorial and those places that cater to people like myself who do this for a living, they've actually stopped filling home gardener orders for a couple weeks until they can get caught up.
When you do order seeds, Sue, and you get those seed packets, what are you looking for?
Oh, first of all, that great big beautiful colored picture on the front.
Yes, that got you to buy it in the first place.
That's exactly right. Although there are seed companies that while their catalogs are colorful, they keep their information on the seed packet to a minimum. But you will find that you have to kind of learn how to read a seed packet and or a seed catalog to be really successful. We talked about chocolate and the fact that you can't grow it here, only near the equator. You do not want to buy chocolate seeds, okay? You're getting taken to the cleaners then. So just keep that in mind.
I always think that when I see a hibiscus for sale at the nursery. I'm like, what are you people going to do with this hibiscus?
Sometimes that stuff is more work than it's not. So if you buy the proper plant for this area, there are little keys in those catalogs and on the back of those seed packets that you should be aware of.
What are the top things that you are looking for on that seed packet? Is this like you want it organic, fair trade certified, or are you more looking at your microclimate for your yard? I know I've got partial sun, for example.
Well, that is very important. The first thing I do is I always buy Safe Seed Pledge seeds from the companies that have taken the Safe Seed Pledge. That way I know I'm not getting any Franken seeds. And I love heirlooms, and so that's the first thing I do is I always check the list of Safe Seed companies. And there's tons of them, probably 300 of them out there. But because we live in Zone 4, and actually you're on the eastern half of the state, so you might be a little bit less than 4. We're 4A or something like that because we get a lot of warm weather from Montana that kind of circles around here. Days to maturity, really, really important. We have probably a short window of 80 days of really good weather to grow. So you always want to look and make sure that your vegetables will produce within an 80-day or less time frame. Otherwise, you'll be out there with your smudge pots in November trying to get them to
grow. I have
one
of these artificial lights. I got a heating plate underneath it.
A little, what are those little hot water bottles or those little things that people used to have to plug in? And then one thing, if you're going to plant them yourself, you know, like if you're going to start peppers or something indoors, you'll want to kind of like take note on the back of the seed packet, the days to germination, so you don't give up if something doesn't pop out of the ground in 3 days. Tomatoes, oh, they'll come up overnight sometimes, so will cucumbers. But peppers take almost 10 days to germinate. And you need to keep them warm, of course, and they will germinate a little bit faster than if you leave that soil cold and wet. So I would put if I was starting seeds, I would put them in my oven with the oven light on. However, you don't ever want to try baking anything without opening your oven first, because you could lose like 49 pepper plants. It's just because you thought that that, you know, it was going to be okay. I have a double oven, and I use the top oven, and I had plants in the lower oven, and boom, they didn't survive that. So I was pretty disappointed in myself.
And then what about the physical planting of the seed?
Well, first of all, like one more thing that you want to take note of when you're, the back of the seed packet will also tell you how many weeks before you can put them in the ground that you want to, you don't want to start like, oh, it's so tempting. I mean, God, I'm fondling seed packets every day thinking, oh, can I put something in the ground yet? But what happens is they become too large to manage. Last year I had transplanted my little tomato plants 3 times to keep putting them in larger pots and larger pots and larger pots. And then they become too heavy to tote around and harden off, and it's not worth it. So check the back of the seed packet. Keep in mind that North Dakota will have a freeze, more likely than not, before the middle of May. So you want to count back from about the 17th of May, you know, 6 weeks or 8 weeks, and it'll say start plants indoors 8 weeks before last frost, because that way they'll be manageable. And I know people in April when it's beautiful, or I think last year it was beautiful in March, and I saw all these people on Facebook, and they're planting their tomato plants, and I'm just laughing. And I said, please, you're not going to make it. You're going to have to cover them up. You're going to have to babysit them. It's not worth it. They will not grow faster or produce more if you put them in the ground too soon. So you want to wait until it's time after that frost in order to plant those plants, because a lot of those people lost all their plants. And that was good for me because I had extras. I sold a lot of my extra plants last year because people froze off early. So now here's something that I learned a long, long time ago, like in the 80s when I used to read organic gardening like it was the Bible. And it said in there that there was something called the French intensive method of planting. Now, that is something that you can research. They kind of scatter seeds and they plant real thick. But one of the things that came out of that article was the fact that, think about this. If you can plant a radish 3 inches from the next radish and so on and so forth, why does it have to be 24 inches away from the next row? That is a fallacy. If it's 3 inches apart in the row and you're working with, let's say, raised bed gardening, you only have to plant those 3 inches apart from the one next to it because it will still grow and have plenty of space. I think the only reason they say that you have to plant them so far apart is so you can walk between them. But if you're very careful and you can reach across 2 or 3 rows, plant them a little closer together when you do put them out in the garden.
Sue, I like what you said at the beginning of the conversation where you were talking about doing a seed exchange. Because, of course, like if everybody buys tomato and pepper and squash and watermelon and cucumber and, you know, and everything, then they're going to have a ton of excess seeds. And so I know a lot of neighbor groups say, okay, I'm going to get tomatoes, you get cucumbers, and we'll share seeds and whatever. But I'm wondering, for you, as someone who is very successful at gardening, do you do some seed saving as well as buying new seed every year?
I do seed saving. However, it is a pretty specialized sort of thing, because you have to make sure that, like, I love growing peppers, and so I just plaster this one high tunnel just full of every variety of pepper. They do have a tendency to cross-pollinate, and of course none of your vegetables that are hybrid, like Early Girls and those kinds of tomatoes that you'll normally find at a garden outlet store, they won't produce again the next year. They're just not capable of doing that. And so I do save a lot of pepper seeds. And, you know, if you go to the farmer's market and you buy some of those dried chilies and use them for pickling, those seeds in there are perfectly viable if they're grown from a heirloom, non-hybrid sort of plant. Now, the thing is that they do cross with the sweet pepper next to them. They might produce a sweet pepper versus a hot pepper. You don't know which of the genes is dominant. So if you're going to save seeds, you'll want to isolate a variety. You know, your squash. One year I planted a whole bunch of different varieties of squash and came up with one that everybody loved, and we had thousands of them. We gave them away at our open house, but I don't think it was reproducible. I mean, we couldn't figure out which two plants the bees were pollinating from. You know, it was a great color and a great flavor, but yeah, it's something that you have to research very carefully to make sure that you have success the next year. And it's worth doing that because the price of seeds has been exponentially growing, just like my tomato plant.
Sue, I've always wondered, when you buy a seed packet, is it sold by weight or by the number of seeds in the packet? How is that figured out? Because some seeds are just tiny.
Oh, my gosh.
And you wouldn't even be able to count them.
Stevia seeds are the size of a tip of a pencil lead. It's amazing how they can actually get those put into a packet, much less get them out of there and into the soil. That's a difficult chore, too. My friends down in Fullerton that grow seed for Prairie Road Organic Seed Company, I asked her about that. I said, which one of you actually sits down and counts out 25 pepper seeds and puts them in the pack? And Teresa just laughed at me and she said, what we do is we count them out, then we weigh them, and then we scoop them with a spoon kind of into the packages. Now, I'm the kind of person that when I buy a package of seeds that says 25 seeds, I count them. I want to make sure if I'm paying $3.95 for those seeds, there better be 25 seeds in there. Now, I can also buy them by the ounce because I have greater capacity for growing than most household gardeners. So most of the household gardeners would buy seeds if they said 25 seeds in a pack, which is pretty standard. However, you must look at the germination rate also. It says on the back whether those seeds are 99% germination or 75% germination, because if you have 10 seeds, and I'm going to do easy math here because I suck at math. If you have 10 seeds in a packet at 50% germination rate, only 5 of them are going to come up. So if you're planting a garden, you have to look at that, or you're not going to end up with enough plants to fill all your rows. Very important thing to know. If you do save seed, you can check your germination rate quite easily. Like, I think we did this when we were in the fourth or fifth grade at school, maybe even the third grade nowadays, where you wet a paper towel and you put 10 seeds in there, like 10 squash seeds or 10 apple seeds. If 5 of them come up, your seeds are going to be at 50% germination that you saved from the year before. And that is a good way to test whether or not they'll actually germinate for you. I personally don't care what comes out of the ground pepper-wise or tomato-wise, as long as it grows and tastes good. I don't care what the name of it is, you know. It's like, grow! That's all I care about is growing.
So if you have a seed that doesn't germinate and they've got a row where, you know, half or more of them do, is what you do then just plant another seed in that place that didn't germinate?
Absolutely. You can do something called succession seeding. And so a lot of times, you know, if you plant beets early in the spring and then wait 2 weeks and plant some more beets, that way you'll be insured of a crop of nice young beets for the fall for many weeks. But it takes some planning and you have to keep good records. So I always recommend doing a diary thing there. One of the gals I know that grows lettuce for the farmer's market, she actually starts her lettuce indoors also to ensure that when she fills out a row, she has a plant in every space in that row, rather than trust that the seeds that aren't going to come up will leave big gaps in that row.
So, Sue, do we assume that you won't be planting anything outside until after the middle of May and that you're starting to plant inside in the middle of March?
Correct. I'm going to try to hold off as much as I can, but it's really hard. So I am looking at some herbs because I can always grow herbs and leave them on my windowsill for a lot longer than in the garden. But now I'm asking my husband if he won't dig up a special herb plot for me. And he's just kind of giving me that lazy eye look, you know, it's like, or evil eye look. I guess it depends on how you look at it. But it is tempting. It's so tempting to start now. But I would say, yes, the middle of March, according to my grandmother, is the perfect time to start tomatoes and peppers. You can also start cabbages, and then you can start cucumbers and squash a little later on. But I have those high tunnels, and they'll warm up a lot faster than people's gardens will. So I just might go ahead this weekend and try to plant some peppers, you know, just for fun.
Okay. Well, keep your fingers crossed. We check in with Sue Belcom for Main Street Eats every Thursday. Always a pleasure, Sue.
Oh, thank you guys so much.